Most of you adults have a job outside the home or have had one at some point. Those who don't work outside the home work hard at home. Probably one or two in your household are working to support your family. So people work every day. Even you children, you have work to do at home and at school. No matter what kind of job you have, you probably work under your boss. There are employees and employers. You have probably heard the saying that the customer is always right. We have studied the fundamental teachings on Christian identity as a pilgrim and the teachings on our cornerstone, who is Christ. We have now begun a new series on how we live in this world as a result of these foundational teachings. 2 weeks ago, we studied about civil magistrate, and today, as we consider our earthly life, we will look at the second fundamental exhortation, which is addressed to slaves. As Peter teaches about the relationship between masters and slaves, he is teaching us about our attitudes at work. Through this exhortation from Apostle Peter, I challenge you to look up to Jesus Christ, your Lord, at your workplace. Look up to Jesus Christ, your Lord, at your workplace. Today, I have 3 headings as usual. I will look at 3 R's this afternoon. First, I want to look at the reason of submission to masters. Second, the resources for our submissions to masters. And third, the result of submission to masters. Again, the reason, the resources, and the result. To begin with, what the reason comes to your mind first for submission to the master? The answer is from verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Peter says to be subject with all respect, or with all fear, as some Bible translations say. This fear carries the same meaning of fear mentioned in the very previous verse, verse 17, which says, "Fear God, honor the imperators." Peter calls us to submit to the civil magistrate with the fear of God. And so we are to submit to the master because of our fear of God. That is the reason of submission to masters. Labor is mentioned many times in the Bible. It has occurred from the beginning of the world. In the creation account, we saw how God worked. So it would be beneficial for us to understand the nature of labor from the creation account before we talk about submission to the masters. There are three things commonly called creation ordinances. Number one, labor or dominion. Number two, marriage and multiplication. And number three, keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath. Labor for dominion, marriage and Sabbath were all ordained of God from the beginning for man's benefit. From the beginning, the core and nature of these creation ordinances has never changed. From the very beginning, man was placed in the Garden of Eden to work. Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." God also assigned Adam the task of naming the animals and of dominion over them. Adam was to study, utilize, and handle all of the resources and hidden treasures of the creation to the glory of God. Adam was supposed to accomplish this job through the means of labor. It seems like Adam and Eve must have had a lot of work to do. And indeed, they did. They were hired by their master and worked at the best place, which is the house of God. They were to work to glorify God alone. That was their job. That was what their labor was for. Adam and Eve were supposed to do their tasks with joy, but at the same time with very solemn fear before God, who created all things and asked them to do their work. Also, Apostle Paul in Colossians 3:22 to 24 says, "Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord." Again, fearing the Lord. The authority of submission to the master comes from fearing the Lord. Thus, Peter tells his recipients to serve their masters because they serve the Lord. They work not for human master, but for the Lord. So the reason for our submission to masters always calls us to fear the Lord. We have quickly looked at the reason for submitting to our earthly masters. But now we may ask the following question. How and to what degree do we submit to our masters? What should we consider as Christians when we work? I want to look at the resources in Scripture for our submission to the Master under the second heading. Resources for our submission to the Master. Regarding work or labor, I want you to think of work conditions. In the beginning, there was no sin. Sin had not entered the world. But now, we live in the fallen world with sinners. Unlike Adam and Eve, who worked under God, we endure the yoke of sinful masters. You might have a good, gentle, and Christian boss, but that is not always the case. And this does not guarantee that your workplace is always pleasant and stress-free. From today's passage, people gives us some harsh cases which could happen at our work. Verse 19 and 20. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Peter talks about times when we suffer wrongfully and unjustly. You may think of times in the past when people at your own place of employment got you wrong. People misunderstood the meaning of your actions and words, misjudged your intention, and then accused you or tried to harm you. The situation Peter is talking about in verse 20 is even harsher. I want to bring one example of verse 20 from the Bible. Children, can you think of anyone in the Old Testament who unjustly suffered although he did good? Do you know Joseph in the story of a coat of many colors? As we read in Genesis 39, Joseph was sold by his brothers and came to the land of Egypt. Then Joseph was sold as a slave to a rich soldier, Potiphar, who was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. Joseph became a household slave. By the way, the term household slave and its social position here is the same slave Peter is referring in his letter. Potiphar saw that everything Joseph did went well, so he let Joseph manage the whole household. Joseph was still a slave, but became an overseer of Potiphar's house. Then what happened? Children, do you know anything about Potiphar's wife? Yes, she was a wicked woman. She cast a longing eye on Joseph and wanted to make him sin. But Joseph refused her and she accused him with false stories. There is no mention in the Bible that Joseph defended himself before his master. Rather, he was put into prison. Joseph suffered wrongfully and unjustly. He did good instead of evil, but suffered. He took suffering patiently, just like Jesus Christ, whom Joseph is pointing to. Peter also brings the example of Jesus Christ next few verses. Lord willing, we will study verse 21 to 25 in 2 weeks, but today's text should be considered in context with verse 21 to 25. Look at verse 21 with me. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Beginning with for or because. For to this. And verse 22 continues, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Here, Peter quoted from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53, verse 9. And in the same chapter from Isaiah 53, verse 7, he says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. What do you see here? Christ suffered wrongfully, but endured for us. Peter is teaching us to bring this example of Christ into our lives and our attitudes at work. We may easily get frustrated, complain, lack patience, lose our temper at work. But look up to Christ. This is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. So we should be conscious of God when we work, just like Jesus Christ, who committed himself to him who judges righteously. We will look up to the Lord. Do not work to find favor in your boss's eyes, but work with having a mindset toward pleasing and honoring the true judge and head, Jesus the Lord. These are our resources as we labor. The examples of Jesus and others that God gives us in his word. Look to Jesus. We looked at the reason and resources for submission to our master. Now, under the last and third heading, we will see the last R, the result of submission to the master. The benefits you may think of when you submit faithfully under your master are things like promotion to a higher position, better work conditions, higher salary on the negotiating table, or self-achievement satisfaction. However, in today's passage, Peter tells us that the result of submission to the master is to be acceptable with God. To be acceptable with God. In verse 20, our Pew Bible, ESV Bible translates, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. But the better translation is from King James Bible. This is acceptable with God. This is acceptable with God. This is the result of our submission to the master. Earlier, in talking about the creation ordinances, I said that these ordinances began from the beginning of creation, that sin entered into the world, and that Adam's sin was imputed to all humankind. There is no change in the nature of the creation ordinances, but we need to acknowledge that we cannot be successful in keeping these ordinances without the gospel or what Jesus Christ has done. For instance, without Jesus Christ, we cannot succeed in our marriage life. That was made clear when heard from Pastor Eshelman about Samson's story. And we know that keeping the Sabbath is not just a ceremony or service like in the Old Testament era. Rather, we should see Jesus Christ on the day of our Lord. And in terms of labor, we should see Christ who made it possible for us to receive God's grace. Jesus Christ, He alone makes us acceptable before God. Jesus Christ enables us to live a grace-filled life in the sight of God at our workplace. 1 Peter 2:24, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. You have been healed. God's calling for our salvation through Jesus Christ should always be considered before our vocational calling. God calls us to godly action in any circumstance, including suffering at work. Our call to salvation precedes any call to vocation. Without a call to salvation, our achievement, high salary, or promotion at our work is in vain. Without looking to Christ, our submission to our boss could mean that we obey Him as Lord instead of Christ. Follow whatever He asks us to do, and as a consequence, do things in vain. Remember that labor is not fun at all. It should not be regarded as an enjoyable or delightful act. God says, because you have listened to the voice of my wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. To ancient people, work was the curse and was intended only for the lowest class of people, like slaves. Free men were engaged in art, philosophy, politics, large agricultural endeavors or war. The ancient Greeks regarded the most desirable and the only good life as one of leisure. However, Calvin's vocational idea was that there would be no employment so mean and sordid, provided we follow our vocation as not to appear truly respectable and be deemed highly important in the sight of God. Everyone received a special calling to a vocation for which he received the necessary gifts. God called man, you and me, to salvation. On the other hand, God also called man to a personal or particular calling, a vocation, with a set of rules and tasks. Martin Luther understood vocation to be first and foremost a summons to a life of faith. By looking up to Jesus Christ at our workplace, we will be acceptable to God. This is the result of godly submission to the Master. 1 Peter 2:20, how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? We do good, but suffer. We take suffering patiently because we know that our credit will be collected in the heavenly kingdom. We are working with longing to Christ and His suffering for being acceptable in the sight of God. This is the result of submission to the Master. So far, we have considered Peter's call for us to be submissive to our earthly masters. We have looked at the first R, the reason. The reason is for us to fear God. The second R, the resources in Scripture to help us be conscious of God. Conscious of God. And the last R, the result, to be acceptable with God. From today's passage, I would like to draw three applications that related to three of the Ten Commandments. Three applications. The first application comes from the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. From the beginning, labor has always been related to keeping the Sabbath. God worked during 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And we commemorate Jesus Christ and His redemptive work for us on the very first day of seven. This is the day of rest for us. We work hard for 6 days and rest in God and worship Him on the Lord's Day. This is the pattern of Christian life. However, one of the strugglings from work is whether to keep the Sabbath or not. Nowadays, many employers don't promise a day off on the Lord's Day. Sometimes it's not easy to refuse to work on the Lord's Day or to find a new job offering every Lord's Day off. And some work is necessary, such as hospital workers and soldiers. But I must say that we should strive to keep the Lord's Day, which has been God's commandment from the beginning. The second application comes from the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is another battle area at our workplaces. Sometimes we face ungodly tasks to do at work. You might report that my manager requested that I exaggerate the advantage of the product that I needed to sell. Or my boss wants me to work deceptively instead of honestly. One of my friends who is a businessman says that it is so much easier to make money when he cheats customers. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says the ninth commandment forbids whatsoever is prejudicial to truth or injurious to our own or our neighbor's good name. Truly, we may feel pressure to harm our neighbors for the sake of making a profit for our work. However, the Bible forbids this. The Bible does not teach us in this way. We should not bear false witness at work. The third and last application is from the 10th commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Along with the 8th commandment, this 10th commandment always reminds us to be content. To be content. It is very important for us as Christians to be fully content with our own circumstances. It is because of where we place our values. We are people who are promised our heavenly inheritance, and we keep our eyes on that promise. The question and answer of Catechism number 81 tells us what our attitudes should be as Christians. What is forbidden in the 10th commandment? The 10th commandment forbids all discontentment with our own estate, envying or grieving at the good or our neighbor, and all inordinate motions and affections to anything that is his. Once we forget this commandment, we can become the slave of money and the slave of our jobs. But we should become first and foremost the servants and slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeems us from our sin and misery and makes us acceptable before God. We submit to our masters because we fear God, not because of the people. We should submit to our masters with the desire to be conscious of God at work. And we submit to our masters with the goal to be acceptable to God. Jesus Christ himself became the great example of this submission. And he calls us to follow his steps. Brothers and sisters, look up to Jesus Christ at your workplace. Amen.